السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, normally if there is a nikah on a Friday, then the subject matter of discussion is generally nikah. I normally speak on nikah when there is a nikah that has taken place. But today we want to continue with the subject that we have been discussing, and that is the letter that was written by Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh to a student of his who had requested that Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh make some nasihat to him, give him some advices, give him some nasihats. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh had stated in the letter that you spent so many years learning the Quran, learning the tafsir, learning the Hadith Sharif, learning Islamic jurisprudence, seerah, the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. You have covered thousands of pages in your studies. You have gone through volumes. So what more nasihat do you require? I'm just giving you the gist. However, since you have asked for nasihat, therefore I would like to give to you or quote one of the hadiths which you have come across in the kitabs of hadith. And then he mentioned the hadith which I discussed at length a fortnight ago. But just for the purpose of those brothers who were not here, it is an important hadith, and he says it is sufficient for the person's islah if the person is interested in islah. If a person is not interested, then the world can try to make his islah, it will never be made. For reformation and change, there has to be that deep hearted desire for reformation and change. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes it easy for that person. But the person who has no desire for reformation and change, then Allah ta'ala will not thrust it down his throat. أَنُلْزِمُكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِهُونَ. So Allah ta'ala is not going to thrust it down our throats or stick it on our backs if we are not interested. Nevertheless, he mentions that Hadith Sharif in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the alamat, the sign that Allah ta'ala has turned away his glance of rahmat and mercy from a person is i'rad, alamatu i'rad illahi ta'ala anil abd ishtighaluhu bima la ya'ni. When a person is engaging himself in absolutely futile, useless activities, whether it is discussions or whether it is reading of something that is absolutely futile and useless, it doesn't help the person in this world, neither in the qabr nor in the akhirat. And I explained that if it is something that is due to something to do with the person's business or with his family life, and the person is talking cheerfully, happily, is even joking with his family, but there is a niyat and maqsad that the person wants to put happiness into the hearts of his wife and his children, then all that is not useless and futile. But we are talking about those things which are absolutely useless, doesn't help the person in any way. And I gave an example, as people are spending hours and hours glued to the television screen just watching a few people chasing a ball or just hitting a ball out of the ground or doing some exercise or taking part in some sports, absolutely useless and futile, because the person that's watching, it doesn't give him any kind of physical strength and energy. It doesn't help him spiritually, it doesn't help him morally, it doesn't help him materially. In fact, it destroys all these things that he possesses. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that that is the sign that Allah ta'ala has turned away his glance of rahmat from this person. When you see a person engaged in these kind of activities, then that person can say, make dua, the dua also will not have any effect, because that person is giving a very clear sign that Allah ta'ala has turned away his glance of mercy from him. So to make that dua also acceptable, that that person will have to turn away from those things that are useless and futile. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, I'm not going into details, I've discussed it, that if the person has spent any time in his life in those activities for which he was not created, then it is going to be a source of great regret on the day of Qiyamah. And thirdly, when a person has turned 40, when a person has turned 40, most of us have turned 40 long ago, the person who has turned 40, and especially if the person has also got white hair in his beard or on his head, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says when the person has turned 40, after that if the person's good deeds do not overcome his bad deeds and evil deeds, even after 40 he is still indulging in the zina, adultery, fornication, in music, in cinemas and theatres he's spending his time, then he must prepare himself for the fire of hell. After that there is no such thing as hope of reformation and change, although some people could still change at the age of 50, 60. But this person now, he must prepare for death, because he does not know when his death will come. After 40, what is he waiting for now? So that is the hadith that Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi quoted. And then many other things he discussed. One of it is that it is easy to listen to nasihat, but it is difficult to act upon nasihat. A person, he goes around saying, please give me some nasihat, please give me some advice. Everywhere you'll find somebody saying, please give me some advice, write down some nasihat, say something. So this saying something and giving of nasihat and giving of advices, there's plentiful. I mentioned one place that there's so much of speeches now, so much of speeches. Speeches unlimited, that we can even put it on the stock exchange as a commodity, speeches unlimited. There's so much of speeches. So he says speeches are easy, nasihats are easy, but when it comes to amal on those nasihats, it is difficult, and especially for that person who has got the taste and the enjoyment of sins. The person who has already got the taste and enjoyment of sins, in the fulfillment of his passions, I'm talking about passions which are haram. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself created passion in men and in women. And that is the reason why Allah Ta'ala made nikah as a means of the release of that passion in a halal way. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the limitations and he outlined in detail the huquq and the rights of the husbands and the rights of the wives, so that there may be unity, harmony, peace, tranquility in the homes. So Allah Ta'ala is the one who has created the passion. But I'm talking about the haram passion, where the person begins to fulfill his passion in a haram way. Those things which are haram, he's indulging in extramarital sex or relationships, or he's indulging in zina, fornication and other kinds of haram. So this person now, because he has got an enjoyment of sins, then for him to listen, even to listen to those nasihats is difficult. Because it is easy if you have to tell that person that read one tasbih or go for hajj, go for umrah, I will give you a ticket. It's great ibadat to make umrah and great ibadat to make hajj, and I'm giving you a free ticket. That person will say, indeed it's a great ibadat and I would really like to undertake this ibadat. Please give me the free ticket. But ask that person to give up his haram in his life. Tell him that if you give up all the sins of your life, then you will get the ticket. And then see how difficult he finds. So that person who has got an enjoyment of haram pleasures, haram, he has got some sort of enjoyment, now it becomes very difficult on the nafs to accept that nasihat. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, especially for those people who are in the worldly field and their whole objective of life is nothing but dunya, they are not making the dunya as wasila for the akhirah. They are not making it a means of acquiring the akhirah. Their dunya is their goal, that is their motive, that is their purpose of life, that is the purpose of the creation they consider to be. So when that is their goal, that they talk about nothing but money, they talk about nothing but flashy cars, they talk about nothing but properties, they talk about nothing but gold and silver, they talk about nothing but oil wells, and they talk nothing about but billions and billions. So they are not making it a wasila for the akhirat. They are not making use of these ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala for the akhirat. They believe that this is what we have been created for. Then for this person to listen to nasihat, now when the person makes nasihat, that you must not take interest and you must not give interest. So now this person whose business is flourishing because he has borrowed plenty of money on interest, and outwardly the business is flourishing, like that person whose body is blowing and bloating. He doesn't know that one day that bubble will burst. So this person, will be difficult for him to take that nasihat. The person who is indulging in zina, now he will say that, how can I just limit myself to one wife? And especially the person who hasn't even got a wife, then he will say that this nasihat of zina, that stay away from zina, is very difficult on the nafs. So Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that the giving of nasihat is easy. Nasiha mat kar nasihat, dil mera ghabraye hai. Nasiha mat kar nasihat, dil mera ghabraye hai. Main bura samjhu ho unko jo mujhe samjhaye hai. That this person who has got the taste of evil, the person who is enjoying haram, the person whose fulfillment of passion has now reached him, made him reach the stage where he is unconcerned about the Quran and the Sunnah. So when somebody makes him nasihat, he says, oh you who are giving me nasihat, oh you who are giving me advice about Quran and Sunnah, and about Akhirat, and about Jannat and Jahannam, please stop, because it's causing a pain on my heart. I consider the person who is giving me nasihat as my enemy, so don't give me nasihat. I consider him to be a very bad person who is giving me nasihat. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says that this is the outcome of the people who indulge in haram and thereafter do not make sincere tawbah and do not come out of that haram. Then it reaches that stage where afterwards even to make nasihat, it becomes a pain on their heart. They cannot accept the nasihat. And then Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, and he quotes another hadith. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Ish ma shi'ta fa innaka mayyitun. He says, you are asking for nasihat. You want advice. So this is the advice of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that live as long as you wish to live on this world. How long are you going to live? Death is going to come. Fa innaka mayyit. One day your janazah is going to leave. The Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala took them away from this world. The Khulafai Rashideen left this world. The 124,000 companions that were in Arafat in the last Hajj, they left this world. And millions of people came to this world and they left. Once again, I cannot help repeating, but that this world is nothing but like a timeshare unit where some people are living today. They are making use of all the facilities that are in that unit. They are making use of the air conditioner, they are making use of the stoves, they are making use of the fridge, and they are making use of the apartment. But everyone who is making use of the timeshare unit, he knows that on the 20th of the month or 30th of the month or whatever date has been fixed, on that day I have to leave this apartment because somebody else is going to take my place. This is our condition, that we are in this earth like musafirs.
ye hai ek qabr pe bekasi ba zuban hal hai keh rahi ye hai ek qabr pe bekasi ba zuban hal hai keh rahi tumhe aankhe chahiye ghafilo mujhe ehtiyaj bayan nahi.
So he says that live as long as you wish to, but Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that death is going to come. You are going to become a mayyat one day. These wrist watches are going to be removed. If you have those beautiful rings, it is going to be taken out. The women's rings and the bangles and the jewelry with which they were intoxicating people, it's all going to be removed. Our false teeth is going to be removed. The body will become still. Those eyes which we used for seeing so much of haram, those eyes will see no more. Now they will see the angels of death. Those ears will not be able to listen to all the haram which was giving us enjoyment and pleasure in this world. And the tongue will no more be able to backbite and take false oaths and qasams and swear at people and cause harm and injury. Everything will be silenced. So he says, Ish ma shita fa innaka mayyatun. No matter how long you live in this world, death is going to come and take you away from the surface of this earth. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Ahbib man shi'ta, fa innaka mufariquhu. Love as much as you wish to love any person. You are going to be separated from that beloved of yours. No beloved will remain with anybody forever and ever. No matter who you love, that beloved is going to be separated from you, or you are going to be separated from that beloved. Again, by death, that separation is going to come. So therefore, that love also must be for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whomsoever Allah ta'ala says you must love, then you must love. And it must be again to the extent that Allah ta'ala allows us to love. This love is a beautiful commodity. It's a beautiful thing. But we have given this love to cats and dogs and animals. We have given our love to those who are ghayrullah, those whom Allah ta'ala had declared haram for us. We have given our hearts to them. That airport on which Sakina should be landing. Because what is Sakina? Allah ta'ala puts Sakina, He puts sukoon, He puts peace and tranquility and serenity. He puts muhabbat and love and ukhuwat. He puts muhabbat and mawaddat between the hearts of husbands and wives. Allah ta'ala Himself has declared it in the Quran Sharif. That we put muwaddat and muhabbat. Love, compassion, care, kindness, everything Allah ta'ala puts. But when does He put? There must be a heart there to receive it. That heart can only receive that sakina if it is there. And what is sakina? Hiya nurun yastaqirru fil qalb. It is a kind of a nur that Allah ta'ala puts in the heart. That is where that sakina that lands. Sakina comes down from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and it lands on the heart. But if we have destroyed that airport, where is it going to land? The airport of the heart, if we have destroyed it by giving our hearts to so many different haram things, so where do we expect that peace and that sukoon and that tranquility and that serenity and that joy and that happiness to land? Allah ta'ala sends it down, but there's no heart there. That airport is damaged. Watching the television program, somebody has given his heart to this film actress, somebody to that film actress, somebody to this film announcer, and somebody to news reader, and somebody to something else. So much so that when they are making Allahu Akbar, then to all those same pictures come before their eyes. After reading those filthy magazines and novels, the husbands and wives, now the husband's heart is gone somewhere else, the wife's heart is gone somewhere else. Now where do you expect that nuzul of the sakina? Where will that peace and happiness and tranquility and contentment land? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that love whomsoever you wish to love, but one day you are going to be separated from that beloved. So the only one that you will never ever be separated from is Allah. Give your heart to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. If we give our heart to Allah, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is there at all times. My Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says, look at our Allah. That in His very name, He has got the ah of His servants. Allah. When do we say ah? When we've got a deep pain. When we are in sorrow. When we are in grief. When we have suffered some kind of calamity. The person says ah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala loves His servants so much that He put the ah of His servants into His very name. That, oh my dear servants, give your hearts to me, and I am there to listen to your ah any part of the day or night. Any part of the day or night. And I'm even giving you some begging bowls. I'm attaching these begging bowls to your bodies so that any part of the day and night you can raise it. And I will become very pleased the more you beg of me. And my treasures are unlimited. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala even put the ah of the servants into His name. So He says, love. But love for the sake of Allah. We love our parents, our children, our wives, our properties, our homes, whatever we have got. Our love must be for the sake of Allah, that these things will connect us with Allah and take us to the akhirat. We will build up our akhirat with these very things. These very homes will build up our hereafter. These very families will build up our hereafter. This very wealth will build up our hereafter, provided we use it according to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's instructions. So, أَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ تُجْزَى بِهِ. أو كما قال alayhi salatu wasalam, do whatever amal you wish to do, you will be given the rewards of that amal. You will face the consequences of your amal. If you do good amal and good deeds, you will get good rewards. Allah Ta'ala will give you in this world also peace and happiness. And if you do bad and don't make tawbah, don't repent, don't turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will make life miserable in this on this earth. Man a'rada an dhikri fa inna lahu ma'ishatan dhanka. The person will outwardly have plentiful, but Allah Ta'ala will make his life restless and miserable in those beautiful homes, in the midst of all that beautiful wealth. Because Allah Ta'ala makes it miserable. So we have to keep these airports of ours in good condition. When an enemy takes over a city, when they want to destroy a country, or they are fighting, then first thing they try to destroy is the airport. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us these hearts. And this nikah, this is what it is intended for. That Allah Ta'ala has created passion in man, and if the person is not given an outlet for this passion, then he will go to haram. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, out of his kindness, he made it halal for us to marry. And not only made it halal, made it like an ibadat. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared it as his sunnat, as his way of life. There are exceptions. Certain people, they should not marry. For certain reasons, the jurists have said, certain people should not marry. The person is so short-tempered that every little thing he wants to take the gun and blow the person's head off. Then that person shouldn't marry. Because little argument and he'll blow the wife's head off. Look at the jurists, even that they took into consideration. But I'm talking about normal conditions. It is recommended because it brings happiness, peace, sukoon. The person's mind gets settled. But if the condition is the diet. The diet is very important. What's the sense I take tablets upon tablets? But if I don't diet, what is the benefit? The person has got sugar, he has tablets have been prescribed, but he loves his halwa and his chocolates and his sweets and his milkshakes, and he says, I can't do without it. So the person makes nikah, but after that we have to control the gaze from haram. And all this laughing, joking and giggling with our secretaries and with those women that we work, then that is what will take that sukoon away from the hearts. And then the husband and wife will fight like cats and dogs. And then it will lead to talaqs, which are increasing by the day. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all hidayat and give us the tawfiq to understand that there is no other way of bringing happiness into our lives except by obedience to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala help and assist the Mujahideen wherever they are making an effort for the establishment of Islam and Deen, and especially our brothers and sisters and children in Palestine who are suffering trauma and the atrocities of the Israelis. Allah Ta'ala give hidayat to those janawars and animals, and if the hidayat is not in their muqaddar, then Allah Ta'ala must give victory to those who are trying to defend their deen and their Islam. And Allah Ta'ala must destroy the enemies like He destroyed Aad and Samud by sending help from unknown sources. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.